Hello, everyone. Hello, hello. Let's get everyone in the Zoom room. Can you hear me okay? Will you give me a thumbs up that I have all the microphones going in the right places? Awesome. Thank you. I'm gonna close a few windows here. Get myself going. Let's see. All right. I am going to promote Coach Ashley. Hello, Coach Ashley. She is going to be in the Q&A and in the chat with you. Here she comes. All right. Tonight is open coaching on grief, grief surrounding the holidays, grief you feel every day, anything that you want to coach on with regard to grief. So yesterday I did the Q&A on 3 steps for coping with losses. Cheryl just had her dad's funeral on Monday. I'm very sorry to hear that, Cheryl. I actually, yesterday was the 8th anniversary of my own dad's passing. So we have that in common. I'm going to change my name. I think I'll be Coach Kathy tonight. Does anybody want to be coached tonight? Anybody want to be coached on their grief? On their loss. If you want to be coached, go ahead and raise your hand and I will call you up and we will talk. We will talk. So while you're deciding if you want to be coached, oh, today's your dad's birthday, Marcy. Okay. Getting it together now. All right, we have someone who's got their hand raised. I'm going to go ahead and call you up, Zoom user. I don't know your name, so you'll have to introduce yourself. Let's go ahead and call you up and get started. Cassie, I'm very sorry to hear that you buried your dad today. That is never easy. It is never easy. So I'm hoping all of you who are leaving little notes about losing people recently will take some time to see how this coaching applies to you. So, hello, let's get you to unmute. I think I sent you a button. Did you find it?
Got
Oh, there
it.
you are. Hi, tell me your
Hi,
name.
my name is Joanne.
Joanne. It's very nice to meet
Yes.
you, Joanne. I'm Kathy.
Hi, Kathy.
Tell me what we're coaching on tonight.
Well, this is very difficult. My daughter's ex-husband, they've been divorced for 3 years. His name is Clint, father of my two wonderful grandchildren. He took his own life on Thanksgiving.
Oh, goodness.
Yeah, it's a big one. This is new territory for me. And everyone has a mixture of feelings. There's guilt, there's anger. I watch the pain this has caused my grandchildren. My daughter's feeling all kinds of guilt. And I am just overwhelmed with sadness knowing that he was so miserable that he would take his own life. It's unfathomable. He loved his children and he did this and just left so much. It's so tragic. And like I say, it's like everyone is feeling different things at different times, including me.
So tell me, when you think about Clint right now
Yeah.
and what happened last week, tell me what your predominant feeling is. What is the feeling that comes to the surface so clearly for you?
For me, that here's a man that I love like a son, even though, the divorce, of course, put a lot of distance, but I loved him as a son. He was a wonderful son-in-law. But what has settled with me is just that he was so sad and so depressed and just and was really cared about by a lot of people, and that he didn't feel worthy enough to reach out for help.
Okay.
And
so you feel love, right? There's
oh yeah,
love in your heart for
absolutely.
him.
Yeah.
What else do you feel?
I'm feeling there's people involved that are very angry, which I understand, but I'm past that. And I'm the people that are angry, you know, they say, I'm so angry that he did this, that he, you know, he did this to everyone. And I'm thinking more like he did this to himself. He did not feel worthy enough. It has nothing to do with him not loving his children. He wasn't thinking about that then. He was just thinking about being, you know.
So when you think
Yeah.
he did this to himself,
Yes.
What do you feel?
Just sadness for him. And I also feel sadness that, you know, I think about him and the loss of him not being in my life anymore.
Yeah. So you're sad for him and you're sad for you as well, right?
Yes. And his children. Yeah.
And his children, of course, of course.
Yeah.
So what I want everyone to see here is we have a lot of feelings. Sometimes with grief, with this kind of loss, any kind of loss, we are going to layer on things like sadness, guilt, anger. You know, that it's going to, all of these feelings are going to pass through at one point or another, right? And even Joanne here also feels love. And I'm sure you feel love for him. You especially feel love for your daughter, right? Your daughter and her children. Yeah. And in the midst of feeling all these other things. So let's just take a minute and acknowledge that and validate that. Okay. These are the things that you're feeling. There is nothing right or wrong about anything that you're feeling, because feelings come from our heart. They come from our bodies. They're stored in our bodies. And there are ways that we express, our bodies express the things that we're thinking. Okay. So, and it's so interesting that you've said, as you all have worked through this in the past week, it sounds like did you initially feel anger and then it dissipated and now it's turned into sadness? Or did you feel it both at the same time?
When the shock wore off, which took about 24 hours, then I was like in disbelief. I'm still in a little bit of disbelief.
Yeah.
But there was some anger at first. How could he do this?
Yeah.
But the anger didn't last very long. Because I just had to realize that his mind was not as I know him. So I've kind of made peace with, but I'm really just left with more sadness at this point of the loss, and most of all, my grandchildren. They're 15 and 20. And the 20-year-old, she posted a picture on one of the social medias of she and he together. And she was about 5 years old, and she was holding on to him. And, you know, and she said, thank you for everything, Dad. I'll love and miss you forever. That was it for me.
For sure.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So I just want to honor all of the feelings that you have around this, because you've brought up three more now: shock, disbelief, and you didn't say understanding, but there is some understanding in there as well. Then that comes with the compassion and the love side of this. So we want to acknowledge and hold space and validate everything that you're feeling around this loss. Okay. Around losing Clint. The next thing we do here is we normalize this. Wouldn't it be normal to feel all of these things? Wouldn't it be normal to be angry for a few minutes and sad for a longer time and have the shock and disbelief and then have the understanding and feel sad for yourself, for your daughter, for her kids? All of that is so normal, right?
Yeah.
Are you spending any time resisting any emotion, or are you allowing all of it to come in
I
and acknowledging
am.
it? That's
I will. I believe that I am. Yeah.
And that's the beautiful thing, Joanne, because that means you're honoring what you're feeling. You're also honoring the others who are feeling the same things. You're honoring him by remembering him with love and being sad that he's gone. And you're honoring your daughter and your grandchildren and all the others by not, pushing it away, by just being in the moment and feeling it and helping everyone, understand the love and compassion that you have for all of them and for him. So that's a second part, is just normalizing everything. Of course, all these feelings come up. They always do when we have a loss. People think grief is just one feeling, and it can be, but a lot of times it is layered on with all these other feelings. And it's messy. Grief is messy. It's not one
Very
of
much.
those, yes, it's not one of those super clean things we understand. It manifests into some of these other things. And then the last step before actually, processing the grief is giving yourself permission to feel, which you have done beautifully. You've explained all these things that you're feeling, and that you've come in and you've talked about him with love and compassion. And I'm going to bet that you're not eating over this because you are feeling the feelings. Is that right? Or
I
are you
wish so.
eating?
I am.
You are.
I could do worse, but yes, I am.
Well,
I am.
tell me then, when you're eating over this, what are you trying to get away from?
I just think the intense feeling of sadness of the loss of what, why did he, it's just a shame. Really, it's just a shame, really.
Well, do this for me.
Okay.
Are you ready for this? You okay?
I'm ready. I am
Okay.
ready. I'm
And if
here.
you need to create a little safety, if you need to press in, that's fine. Okay. Close
Okay.
your eyes and tell me where the sadness feels in your body. Describe
First of
it.
all, in my eyes and my face, because I cry very easily. It feels like I've been, I cry at the drop of the hat very easily. So I really do feel it really in my face. And my eyes are closed, but my eyes, my face, my heart, my gut.
Anywhere else? Heart, gut, shoulder. Do your shoulders tense at all, or are they relaxed?
Not too bad.
Just your eyes, your head, forehead, maybe?
No, just I
Just your
just
eyes, behind your eyes. Okay.
my eyes. Yeah, my eyes. Just my yeah, just yeah.
And on a scale of like 1 to 5, one being, super easy, 5 being more intense, what's the intensity of the sadness right now?
Oh, it's there. It's like a four.
It's like a
A
4.
four. It's a
Okay.
four.
And if you take a deep breath and you think about inviting him in the compassion that you have and the love that you have for him, does that change the intensity at all?
It makes it stronger.
It makes the sadness stronger.
It does. Because
Yeah.
I'm really feeling it. But I see what you're saying. Shall I open my eyes?
You can open
As
your eyes
well.
if you want.
Okay. I see what you're saying because the sadness actually turned in feels like love for him. And that's I see I can feel that. I'm closing my eyes again. The sadness actually goes to love and loss for him. And it's really not a negative thing. It is really just missing him and knowing everything he's going to miss, and that his children are going to miss by him not being here.
I love You have coached your way through this. This is so beautiful. I hope everybody understands how beautiful this is, because when Joanne leaned into the sadness, it was easier to feel the love.
It
And
was.
it expressed both of them, because if you push away the sadness, you're also going to push away the love. Because pushing away the sadness and the loss means you're pushing away everything. You're pushing away all the memories. You're pushing away all the feelings. And that's what happens when you eat. You're essentially pushing away everything. But when you allow it to be there and you think about how it feels in your body, then the other emotions, the other side, the 50-50, the love can come in and you can experience that as well. And that's ultimately what we want to experience for each other, whether we're here or not, is the love and the memories and the caring, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
So as the sadness and the love intensified for you, did it feel any differently in your body?
It just it brought me to cry. It brought me to tears. It did, which is always which is always a release.
Yes, it is.
It is.
But you still felt it. You still felt it in your heart, right?
Very much.
Did you still feel it in your gut a little bit?
A little bit.
A little bit.
Yeah. A little bit. And I'm also, there's a part of this that I didn't expect all this. I didn't expect to be coached. This is my first time, and I feel like this is a special gift that I didn't expect. So there's that element too, and I appreciate it.
You're welcome. You're welcome. I would encourage you to do that as often as you need to. Close your eyes and concentrate on where it is in your body and how it ebbs and flows in your body, because what that does is it helps you acknowledge the feeling instead of being afraid of it or being afraid of the intensity of it, especially as you go through the next few weeks since your loss is so new. Make sure you are really in tune to what your body is feeling. And if you have to give yourself a little hug, all you got to do is press your hands right here. Okay?
Okay.
Spend time in your body so that you can feel everything.
Okay. I will. Thank you so much.
You're very welcome. You take care and take care of that family.
Thank you.
Okay. Bye-bye. Okay. Cassie, you're next. Here she comes. Hello, Cassie.
Hi.
Hi. Tell me what we're coaching on.
I would say probably trauma. My dad just died of stage 4 liver cancer that metastasized to the spine, and I just buried him today. And I mean, I have coach training and understand like allowing it and processing it and feeling it and being present with it and not indulging in it. And I get all of that. But I think where I'm hung up on is I was with him for the last 10 days of his life as he fought for it. And the things that I had to see before I had to make the decision to let him go, I can't wrap my mind around why I had to see all that.
Well, I can understand what you're going through. When I lost my mom in 1992, I watched her deteriorate from cancer as well. So let me ask you this question, Cassie. The last 10 days, would you change any of it? From your perspective, assuming he goes through everything he went through, what would you change from your perspective?
I mean, I think that's what gets me through it is that I nothing because I know that I held his hand And I know that I comforted him, and I know that I fought with him, and I know that I gave him peace, and I know that I really took his pain away because that's not what he wanted. And it was, I live in Boise, and we were life-flighted to Portland, and I was there for 10 days, and I never left his side. And I, at the end, I like just crawled up on his lap, and I was like, I told you I wasn't gonna leave you. I can't leave you. It has to be you that leaves. And then he just died right then. And it's like, so part of me feels a lot of guilt because I told him to stop fighting and to go, and
Why
he
does that
did. And
make you feel guilty, Cassie?
it makes me feel like I gave up on him.
Did you?
I didn't ask him to keep fighting.
But did you give up on him?
No.
No. Why did you ask him? Or why did you tell him it was okay to go?
Man. Because the only other road for him to stay was just an ugly, painful fight. And it would inevitably would have been, I mean, stage 4 cancer metastasized to the spine. It would have been just pain until it eventually took him anyways. I just didn't want him to be in any more pain.
So is the guilt telling you the truth then? Do you really have something to be guilty about?
No, I mean, I don't know.
So your pain is still very raw. It is very raw. You just buried him today. And your brain is trying to make sense of what happened, is trying to reassure you that you did all you could. In fact, it's looking for places where you might have been able to do better. For whatever reason, our brains create these puzzles for us to solve. And I think what I'm hearing from you is that you wouldn't change any, you wouldn't have changed anything that you did.
No.
Right?
Right.
And
Yeah, I mean,
is it, are you also telling me that you wouldn't change telling him it's okay to go?
yeah, no, I wouldn't take that away because he fought up until I did, so a huge part of me feels like that's what he was waiting for, you know.
So
With
could that have been an actual gift that you gave to him then? The release for him?
Yeah, I don't know. I guess where I get confused is if it's a gift and why does it hurt so bad?
Because the release, the gift is not what's causing the pain. The loss that you're feeling is what's causing the pain. And I think that's what is so important about this particular call, is that when our brains try to make sense of these things, when we feel anger, when we feel guilty, when we feel sad, when we are layering on regret and things like that, it's our brains trying to puzzle through the loss. If we remove guilt and we remove regret, you're left with grief. And you wouldn't grieve him if you didn't love him.
Yeah.
Right? He's not some
You.
jackass that you saw at the Walmart one day, right? Like, oh, the guy at the
Right.
Walmart died. How sad, right? He's your
Right.
dad. And you took care of him, very good care of him in those last 10 days. And you told me you wouldn't change any of that.
No.
So the hurt comes from the loss. Your brain, you've gone through a big change here in the past few weeks that culminated today, right? Big change.
Yeah.
Our brains don't understand change. They try to make sense of it. So it's offering, your brain's offering you all this crazy stuff that you just have to parcel through one piece at a time so that you can reach your own resolution about it. The best tips I can give you are to make sure when you feel something other than the loss, make sure it's supposed to be there. Doesn't sound like you think that guilt is supposed to be there, so we can kind of set that one aside. But if
Yeah.
something else comes in the next few days, think on it. Why am I feeling this? And is this something that really is true and helpful to me as I process this loss?
Okay. Yeah. One extremely tough emotion at a time.
And that's what grief is. It's not an easy feeling to feel. It's not. Nobody complains about feeling happy. Nobody complains about, feeling excited.
Right.
Grief usually indicates a major life change, whether it's your dad or your son-in-law or your dog. Or your job, it's a major life change that you are going to have a lot of work to acclimate to. So be patient with yourself and cry. I'm going to tell you, cry as much as you need to cry, because every one of those tears honors your love for your dad.
Yeah, I'm just gonna miss him forever.
Yeah, you will. But if you didn't love him, make sure you invite the love in too, okay? If you didn't love him, he's not that jackass at the Walmart, that guy that you just passed one day, right?
Yeah.
That's how your grief actually honors the love you have for him. That's why it's
Thank
there.
you. Yeah. Yeah,
And
thank you
tell
so
yourself
much.
as many times as you need to. I wouldn't change a thing over these last 10 days. I tell myself that all the time when I think about my mom. I wouldn't, it was a hard summer and I wouldn't change a thing. And I'm
Yeah.
actually grateful for the memories because I know how I showed up and I'm proud of the way I showed up. You proud of
Yeah.
the way you showed up for him?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm proud of the way I'm continuing to show up for him, like with honoring. I got him honor guards and I got him a 21 gun salute and I got him everything that he wanted. So yeah,
Beautiful.
I did a lot. So yeah. Yeah, there's been a lot of beauty in it too. It's just sometimes this pain is so raw and so hard that it's breathtaking. It just takes my freaking breath away. But thank you for holding space for me and letting me bawl my eyes out too.
You got it. Look, I can hold space and cry at the same time.
I appreciate
Well,
that. Now that's talent.
I just emote, and that's, you want to coach grief with Kathy, you better be ready for the tears because that's the love that I have for you.
Thank you.
Okay.
I appreciate you. Thank you. Seriously, thank you. And thank everybody for all the wonderful comments. I appreciate you all. Thank you.
You're very welcome. You take care of yourself, okay?
Okay, thanks.
All right.
Bye.
I'm not joking, y'all. Not joking. I can hold space and cry at the same time. Christina. Oops, Cassie. Let's get you. You left me, so I'll make you an attendee. There we go. All right, Christina, you're next. I have all this nice makeup on too, y'all. All right, Christina.
I'm
Here you
sorry,
are.
I'm in my car. I was really
Okay.
not expecting to hold
Oh,
on, but
are you
anyway,
driving?
so sorry for the lighting.
That's okay. Are
No,
you?
I'm sitting outside my daughter's tutoring
Okay. As long
class.
as you're
She's
not
in class
driving.
and I'm sitting outside in my car. No.
Okay.
I
And it
she
sounds like
would
your
she would
signal
hurt
is
me if she
okay.
got in the car if I did that. Okay, good.
Okay.
Oh my gosh. Okay. I am so sorry for the ladies who just lost someone. The person that I wanted to call and talk about, is my brother-in-law. We lost him in 2008. And I don't know why I'm getting so emotional. We lost him in 2008. He's my husband's middle my husband's the oldest, and then there's Brian that we lost, and then there's Josh. And Christmas time is always really hard for my mother-in-law, which is understandable. Christmas was Brian's favorite. He was such a goofball at Christmas time. And I didn't get to go to Thanksgiving this year because I was doing something for my small business. And my daughter came, who's in college, she came home or met me at my where I was, and she was in tears because grandma was mad when they got there. Made the comment that she has no c Christmas spirit, and just was just very angry all day long. Was mad because my niece is going, who is Brian's daughter, is going, was at her mom's for Thanksgiving and then is going to her mom's for Christmas. Her mom lives out of state, and it's causing a lot of tension in the family, and I don't know what to do to help my daughter because she's noticing grandma's. She's like, I don't remember grandma being this way before, and grandma wasn't that way before. And it's just affecting everybody in the family. And I'm a fixer, and I want to be able to help everybody
Tell me how you feel.
deal with this. Obviously I miss him. Yeah, he's my brother-in-law, but he was our best man. He died around our anniversary, around our 8th anniversary. We buried him on our 8th anniversary. I mean, I do miss him. But there's nothing I can do about it. And I tend to be one to shove my feelings down about that kind of stuff. Just shove them down and keep going. When it comes to my mother-in-law, it's very frustrating for me. It's very ang I get very angry about it sometimes because my mom lost one of her brothers when I was really young, one of my uncles, and it literally ripped the family apart. And I don't want that to happen to my husband's family. The boys, my husband and his brother are actually closer now than they ever were. But everybody, there's just so much tension when we go to my mother-in-law's for any kind of family gathering. And
It makes it miserable.
Okay. So you're
So,
frustrated and angry. And if I had to guess, you tell me if I'm wrong, okay? Because I'm going out on a ledge here. There's probably a little
go
fear.
ahead.
There's probably a little fear this will tear the family apart as well, right? Well, I want to let's just acknowledge and validate all of that, but at the same time, let's acknowledge and validate what your mother-in-law must be feeling. Okay? You're not supposed to outlive your children. That's
Oh,
not
yeah.
the way it works, right? That's not the way it works. That's not the way it's supposed to work. Happens sometimes.
Absolutely.
So if we hold space for her hurting, we just kind of wrap a little bubble around that and set it to the side. And then we process your frustration, anger, and fear. It helps us understand a little bit more about why she is reacting the way she is. Grief, y'all, grief is messy. Messy, messy. We had, when we lost Heidi this year off of our No BS team, we had a grief coach come in and speak to the team. And she said she had this slide, and I don't think I'll ever forget it. It looked like scrambled eggs. It looked like somebody went through and just did a marker with all these circles, like a child would. And she said that grief is not linear. Grief looks like some doodle, messy, messy doodle that will sometimes be really strong and sometimes feel tolerable. And there's no sense to it. You can layer on all these other feelings. At the core of what you're feeling with this anger, frustration, and fear is the loss. And the other things layer on because of what you're afraid the loss, how the you're what you're afraid the how the how you're afraid the loss is going to affect the family. So if we go all the way down to setting aside the anger and the frustration because you're just reacting to how other people are acting, and we narrow down the fear and the grief, we can totally normalize that, don't you think? Of course you miss him. He was your best man. You loved him. Your husband loved him. Of course you're afraid that this is going to affect the family because you watched it affect your mom's family. Let's just normalize all that and be okay with it being there. This is how your brain is puzzling through it, right? So my question
My
to
brain
you
always,
is, huh?
I was just gonna say, my brain always goes to the, okay, how can I fix this? How can I make this better?
Yeah, you know why? Because it doesn't want to feel the loss. It just wants to feel better. Your primal brain, that's what your primal brain does, y'all. Your primal brain's in the back going, this is hard. It takes energy. We're crying. We don't like this. We want to feel better. Motivational triad. Do y'all remember the motivational triad? Seek pleasure. Let's not make things easy. I don't remember what the third thing is, but maybe somebody can put it in the chat. And that's what your primal brain does. It's seeking pleasure. It's like, let's fix it. Everybody feel better now. We're gonna have Christmas. That might not be what happens. So let's say those who are coming to Christmas come. Mother-in-law's there. Everybody's missing Brian. How do you want to show up?
I want to show up and remember the good stuff and laugh about some of his goofiness and, share good memories and enjoy the day with his family, with our family.
And if somebody's in the side crying, do you want to cry with them? Do you want to love them? Do you want to hold space for
I'm
them?
gonna cry. I'm gonna cry with them because if
Absolutely.
somebody's crying, I'm crying.
Oh, obviously me too, right? Obviously me too. But that's the person that you want to be because That conveys your love for the people around you and your love for Brian. We would not feel loss if we didn't feel love.
Yeah, that is for sure. Oh.
Yeah, that's for sure. So tell me again, who's coming to Christmas?
Well, my mother-in-law's threatening not to have it unless everyone can be there. So we really haven't set a date yet. But it'll be my husband and his brother, Josh, and our kids. And we just hope that Brian's kids, he's got two kids. Well, he has two kids and two stepkids. We haven't seen the boy, the stepboys in a really long time. Well, since he passed. And then Matt and Sam, who are his, they came last Christmas, but we haven't found a date that we can get on this Christmas so far. So hopefully they'll be there.
Yeah. And you're ready for them? You're ready to hold space for them and to love them and to cry with them and to share funny stories.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely ready for that part.
Yeah. Yeah. 100%. Make sure you honor all of that. Before you go to fixing, make sure you feel. Okay? Because when we allow ourselves to feel, the urge to fix or distract or do something else dissipates. We have to not be afraid to feel these things. They're part of our human experience. I said this yesterday. Lori said, seek pleasure, avoid pain. This is the motivational triad. Thank you, Lori. Oh, and something about energy. Conserve energy. It's conserve energy. Thank you, Lori. Forgot what I was saying. When you feel the feelings and you honor them, then you don't have the need to distract. And when you actually drop into your body, like I did with Joanne, the fear of feeling the feeling dissipates. Because it's like, okay, it's just my eyes and my heart and my stomach. And it got a little bigger for her, remember? And she could still tolerate it. In fact, when she did that, it invited in the love. So I would encourage you to make sure you are feeling everything. Okay? Because that's how you honor yourself and your humanness. That's where I was going. We have a gift as human beings to feel. We have this emotional gift. Let's use it properly. Let's use it to our benefit so that we can understand all of it and feel all sides of it. Okay? That makes sense? Or am I getting a little too woo there?
No. No, you're not getting too woo.
Okay. You good?
Yeah, I think so.
All right. You take care. Okay.
Thank you.
All right.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Bye.
Bye.
Jill, you're next. So I saw in the chat, somebody asked, what if I feel numb? Lean into numb. Because that could be the first, you know, like I was talking about how at the basis of grief, we have the basis of grief and we feel all these other little things like anger and guilt, and, you know, all that stuff, regret, fear. What if numb is actually one of those things you're feeling because you're grieving? So think about that. Lean into numb. What does that mean? Where do you feel numb in your body? Ask your brain, why am I feeling numb right now? What am I thinking? Am I hiding? Am I distracting? Am I fearful of feeling? Kind of lean into that, okay? Jill, do you mean to be here? I'm going to ask you to unmute. You're welcome. I'm going to ask you to unmute and start your camera.
Okay. Hi. Oh,
there you are. Sometimes here people raise their hand and they don't mean to.
So okay.
Make sure.
Yeah.
All right. What you got, Jill?
Well, listening to everybody so far has been helpful for me. So thanks everybody for sharing. For me, I'm still I guess we never stop experiencing the grief, but my father passed away 33 years ago. He took his own life. And around this time of the year, December 10th is actually the anniversary date of his death. And I just, right now I'm going through a lot of different emotions. My mom just turned 83 the other day. It was her birthday. And I'm finding I'm binging a lot the last couple of weeks. And just so many different emotions, like the last couple of days, a lot of anger, and just angry at my siblings, at my spouse. Just a lot of anger.
Why are you angry?
I think I'm angry just because I feel that we've been left behind by my dad, and everybody's still feeling the pain, like, after all this time. And but I feel sad too about it, and I try to put things in perspective, and I felt guilt over the years, and it just changes constantly how I'm feeling. And I guess I get frustrated with myself too, thinking it's been 33 years. I should be able to not be like this or feel these feelings all the time. And or around this time of the year, it really seems to be hard.
Why do you think you shouldn't be feeling this after 33 years?
That's the thing about me. I kind of, like, going back to the little Jill, always felt that I shouldn't have feelings, that my feelings were, it wasn't okay to have feelings because feelings would make other people unhappy, possibly, if I shared them or felt them. So I've always just kind of repressed them. I mean, now with no BS and everything, I've learned that it's, it's okay to have feelings, and that it's okay to acknowledge them and sit with them. I find over the last week or so, I've just been really angry with people, and it's been, I've been just kind of saying things that are hurtful, and
So you and I are probably close to the same age. We grew up in the, children should be seen and not heard time.
Yes, yes.
All that exactly. Kind of stuff. All that is gone. Okay. Mm-hmm. All that conditioning is gone. With no BS, we know it's okay to feel feelings. In fact, we're encouraged to feel feelings, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So this whole notion that you shouldn't be feeling, you shouldn't be missing him after 33 years, I find interesting.
Mm-hmm.
My mom died in 1992. That is 41 years ago. 41. No, is that right? No,
yeah, actually, yeah, years. Close to my dad. Yeah, my dad was
31 years. Sorry. Yeah. Bad math.
Yeah, okay.
Right. I don't want to not miss her.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, honestly, I don't want to say I shouldn't miss her anymore. She's my mom.
Mm-hmm.
This is your dad.
Yeah.
You know, why wouldn't you want to invite all of that in about him. You know, sometimes I think about all the things my mom has not seen in 31 years. And then, you know, my brain goes to puzzle on that. Well, maybe she's in heaven and she can see all these things and, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. But I feel sad that she's missed out on that. And that's, there's nothing wrong with feeling that way. Mm-hmm. Right? It's normal. In fact, it's normal to feel that way. And I feel that way because I invite in the fact that I miss her. Okay.
Yeah.
So I want you to really think about that. Mm-hmm. Let's not push away. Let's not push away the loss, because we're going to push away the love too. We're just not, if you shouldn't think about him losing him, does that mean you shouldn't think about loving him too? Mm-hmm. Because if you shove all that away, you're just not going to think about him at all. Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So be careful with that. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Be careful with that. And then this anger, why do you feel angry?
I think it's a combination of a lot of different things. It's, you know, I feel angry that my dad isn't experiencing his grandchildren, and vice versa, that my sons haven't had the experience of having a grandfather. And I think too that my mom, I mean, she's kind of feels a lot of weight of a lot of pressure of all dealing with all of the family. I mean, she's the matriarch. Mm-hmm. She's the only one left out of her generation now. And and it's a lot of pressure on her, and I kind of take that back to when I was little. I made it my job as a little tiny person to feel responsible for her happiness, and I've realized that through my thought work with OBS and such. Yeah, so all that anger stuff with that.
Who are you angry at? Who's your anger directed toward?
Everybody else, but I think it's because I'm angry with myself for my little child brain thinking that was what I was supposed to do in this lifetime, was make sure my mom was happy and nobody hurt her.
Why would you want to be angry for feeling responsibility for your mom?
That's a good question. I don't know.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think that's how you kind of process through something like this, is you just start questioning it. You know, so I asked you first about not wanting to feel the loss. And then we went to anger and we dug just a little bit deeper into the anger. And if I had to guess, tell me if I'm wrong, here I go out on another ledge. Sure. You're more angry that he's gone than you are at yourself and at everyone else. Mm-hmm. And it's probably coming out in that way because you think you shouldn't feel it anymore. Mm-hmm. If you invite in the loss and the missing him and the loving him, does the anger start to ease a little bit?
Yeah, it does. And yeah, I think there's anger because when he passed away, after a little while, I kind of felt not only the loss of him, but the loss of trying to have a relationship with him, because I spent most of my life, all my child life until I moved away to go to university, feeling that he was the major cause of my mom's unhappiness. Yeah.
So would you want a relationship with him?
Yes.
What would you want it to look like?
Doing things together, being close, and not feeling resentment or resentment towards him, I guess.
Can you release the resentment toward him now? Can you work on that? Can you work on releasing the resentment toward him now? Because here's the thing,
too.
A relationship, I don't know how long you've been in No BS, but we did, we have a course on relationships. The very first lesson talks about how a relationship is all about what's in your mind about the person. So I still have a relationship with my dad. It's been gone 8 years. I talk to him. I have conversations, one-sided, but I know inherently how he would respond. I can hear his voice in my head. So I think I still have a relationship with him. We still have conversations. I still think about him. I laugh at him and with him because I know what his reaction would be. I look at pictures of him. I have memories of him. So I tell you this to say, if you don't like the relationship you had with your dad when he died, that doesn't mean you can't fix that or change it or evolve it now.
That's, that makes me feel hopeful. Yeah, because I think I've been looking at it as that was it. There's no opportunity to repair that relationship or have a relationship moving forward.
Yeah. So let me ask you this last thing. If he were sitting, if he were the third person on this call, picture his face right there in the middle of the screen. What would you tell him?
That I'm sorry for pushing him away and that I love him.
That's the start. That's the start of building the relationship that you want with him today. How does that feel?
That feels good. Yeah.
Does it feel doable?
It does.
It feel like something you could totally journal about this. You could get a great big long piece of paper and write him a letter. You know, cleanse yourself of everything. I was mad at you for this, but I'm not anymore, Dad. I want to start today and think about you in these ways with these memories and develop, you know, conversations with you. Write him a letter. Write him a great big long letter.
Okay. Yeah, that sounds great.
That sound good?
That sounds awesome. Yes. Okay. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Take care.
Yeah, thanks. Bye-bye. Take care.
Hey, y'all, I'm going to do one more. There are several hands raised. I think we could be here. We could be here a while. but I'm going to do one more. And if you did not get what you needed out of this call tonight, hit me up and ask coaches. Okay. I'm working tomorrow. All right, Trudy. Let's take care of you. There's my friend Trudy. Oops.
Hey, sorry. I'm actually in the grocery store. Can you see me?
Oh, yeah. Well, let's hope you're, yes, but let's hope your signal is good enough.
I'm headed outside right now.
Okay.
I'm in the grocery store. I'm headed outside by the front door.
Okay.
Yeah, surprise back, hold on. But, okay, 1 second.
I can hear you if you want to talk.
Okay. Grief at the holidays hasn't really been a thing for me until today, right now. One of my nephews woke up this morning and tried to wake his wife up, and she was blue. And so they've been at the hospital all day and are contemplating, of course, they're fixing to have to pull the plug for her. And I'm fixing to get still. I'm so sorry. But, they're fixing to have to pull the plug because she has no brain activity, no lung activity. She went a long time without oxygen, like an hour and a half. And so there's no hope. And all of the boys are like really, really close. And Colby had just really gotten his life together. He's fixing to be 24. His birthday's the 15th of December. Her 22nd birthday was 2 days ago. I mean, he was so happy. And so I guess what I'm meeting is things to help my boys and help Colby, like, through their grief as well. Because for, you know, it's going to be really hard for them. And so I think that's kind of, how do I go best about helping them grieve and process through the future? Because, you know, men don't, a lot of them don't do their, you know, they don't do thought work. They don't do the foo-foo stuff and all of that. So, without being too, you know, put your hand on your heart and breathe and think sure. about these kind of things that, you know, and of course just being there. But, and I love what you said earlier about just allowing the feelings instead of trying to fix something.
Yeah.
Allowing it to be. So I've already been helped a lot already.
Mm-hmm.
But my youngest just found out today that he's having a baby, and so, or his fiance's having a baby. But so, you know, he's like, Mom, I feel guilty being so happy with Colby going through what he's going through. And I'm like, you know, you can be happy and sad at the same time. There's room for both. You can do all of it. So, but yeah, just help with them. I've been one of those very, very fortunate people that, you know, the holidays have been mostly very positive, and I honor my grandmother all the time. I miss her dearly, but I honor her by putting her tree up every year, and so I use it as a way to feel closer to her and relive all the memories that we had. So so that's kind of been, you know, a good thing for me throughout the years. But she was so young.
So here's what you do.
Be really, really hard.
Yeah, of course it is.
Okay.
Of course it is. We can certainly acknowledge that and validate it. It's going to be hard. It's going to be hard for you because you care about her and the people that she left behind, right? And you care about your son who's trying to figure out how to be happy and sad at the same time. That's the kind of person you are, Trudy. That's the kind of person you want to be. I know you. You want to be that loving, supportive, I'm here for you person.
Yeah.
So when it comes to taking care of other people, you're going to have to take care of yourself so that you can be that loving support for other people. And taking care of yourself means you have to have time to process your own grief and your own feelings and your own sadness over this. And then when it comes to your nephew and the rest of the family, you just do what I've done on this call. Acknowledge and validate and normalize for them. Of course you feel sad. It's okay to feel sad. Why wouldn't you want to feel sad?
Okay.
Okay?
Right. Mm-hmm. Yep.
I mean, it's yes. This is really how you process any deep emotion. You validate it, you acknowledge it, you normalize it, and then you give yourself permission to feel it. I want you to go home tonight and have a great big old cry. I could see you go trying to hold it back. It's coming, isn't it?
I have a hard time crying and talking at the same time. So,
apparently I don't.
It's crazy.
But seriously, you need to be prepared to feel what you're going to feel as well at the intensity level that you'll feel it, because you're a deep feeling kind person. You're going to feel this intensely as well. And you're going to feel grief for the loss, and you're going to feel sadness for everyone else. So please honor that. I love the example you gave your grandmother's tree. You might offer that to some of the family. How can we best, tell me her name.
Her name's Emily.
How can we best honor Emily this season?
That's a good idea.
Yeah. What was she like? What would she love? What can we do in her name? How can we honor her?
Okay. You can do that.
Yeah.
Yep.
So where are you going to be when they make this decision for her?
They lived 3 hours from us. Colby still lives there. Yeah, at any rate. Mm-hmm. They're 3 hours from us. So they are probably making the decision as we speak. I spoke to my brother earlier and they said it's basically she's on the machines giving Colby and her parents time to process and deal with what they have to do. And so I'm here, you know. I do already have plan to go to my mom's tomorrow. So after I get off work tomorrow, I'm spending the weekend there. So we'll be able to, I'll be able to be there for them and be with my brother and whatever, you know, whatever needs to be for there. So that was already the plan.
So how do you want to show up for that family?
With open arms and big tears, you know?
Yeah. You're going to be authentically Trudy with all the love and all the sadness and all the tears and all the support as you help them process, right?
Yeah, I can do that.
Yeah.
Yep, I can do that. So you don't, it's just some of the things you just don't think about that people going through, you know?
Yeah.
They just were so stinking happy. And Colby's been through a lot in his life, and he is just, so it's, he's got a lot. It's going to be hard. So
I would love,
we can do this. We can do hard.
You know what? And that's the 50-50. You know, we've talked about grief and love being the 50-50.
Yeah.
The hard, and we can figure it out. That's the rest of the 50-50. Yeah. Small baby steps. Okay. Little places, little steps in the right direction and in the direction you want to go.
Yeah.
You can figure it out and he can figure it out.
Yes.
Just love him. Yeah. Just love him through it. And I know you will.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And I'm so glad you're here and you're doing grief work. No one else is better to do it than you.
Oh, thank you. That's very sweet.
Yeah.
You hang in there.
Yeah.
Take good care of that
absolutely.
Family.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely. Okay. And speaking of honoring those we loved, I will once again say you are Kathy effing Hartman. I so loved Heidi. God, I loved Heidi. She was just everything.
I miss
well.
That girl.
I mean, just, I miss her, so I know y'all miss her.
Fun fact about Heidi, y'all, she loved Christmas. Loved it.
Yes.
You would put up that tree.
It.
She could
loved
not wait
so
to
much.
Put up that tree every year. So when you put up her tree this year, you think of Heidi.
And that, and that girl loved her some Kathy Hartman.
Kathy Hartman loved her.
She loved you dearly. Oh, absolutely.
Well, thanks, Trudy.
Thank you,
I'm crying again.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much.
All right. You take care. I'll be thinking about you.
We appreciate you.
Okay.
Thank you, Beth.
All right, y'all. I told Trudy I'm going to be thinking about her. I'm going to be thinking about all of you, as you navigate your holidays, as you navigate life without, you know, as you lose your loved ones. The holidays, they seem harder. And I guess in some respects they are. But I want you to remember this. I think about this every time November 29th comes around, I think about how I miss my dad, but I don't miss him any more on November 29th than I do any other day of the year. So I want you to think about that, okay? And lean into it and love your people. All right. That's it. Have a good night. We'll be thinking about you. Let us know how we can support you this season, okay? Bye, everyone.